American Tobacco Historic District in downtown Durham. This is Due South on WUNC. I'm Leonita Inge. Today we've got some really scary radio for you. Politics, the 2024 election, and a spooky tale from a storyteller who's a friend of ours. Later in the hour, we'll speak with a reporter who recently produced a show for the public radio program Reveal. It's about Black Republicans. And after that, we'll hear from WUNC's Rusty Jacobs and Raleigh-based reporter Emily Vespa about the specific challenges election administrators face in our highly polarized political environment. But first, let's get to that really scary story. Ray Christian is a storyteller based in Boone, North Carolina. Last year, he told us this spooky tale for Halloween, and we wanted to share it with you to celebrate the holiday. Enjoy. You know, we're in the Halloween season,
right,
not just children, adults like myself, we'd like to be scared a little bit, just a little bit. Now, you were, I guess, raised and grew up in the South in Richmond.
That's right.
So that's where your story takes place.
That's right, in Richmond.
So tell us this story.
Well, when I was a kid, I'm going to say maybe I was 12 years old, I was a paper boy. And I was a paper boy in a community that was riddled with poverty. A lot of stray cats and dogs roaming the community. And like I said, it was pretty dilapidated, an area town known as Churchill in Richmond. But despite the community being dangerous and dilapidated, people still wanted their news and information. And even in that community, people wanted to make sure that their papers were delivered on time. A lot of the paper boys would quit certain routes. When you'd have a lot of people who wouldn't pay, they were tough to get paid, they had biting dogs in the yard, and those people who were just difficult to deal with. And so occasionally with the paper man, the manager, he would change some of our routes or change people. So I got a new guy on my route, a new person I was supposed to deliver papers to. And the reason why they put this guy on my route, because the other boys who had previously been there say they weren't getting paid. They didn't get paid. So, and I knew about this, the trouble customers. You know, you go to people's house, you got to be real aggressive. You know, it's the paper boy. I need my money. So I go to this house, and it's tightly locked up. I mean, the kind of house where the door is well secured, the windows, the curtains are all closed up. You can't see what's in the house or what's going on. And I do notice, though, there are a couple of newspapers that are old on the porch. So clearly the boys from the past had been trying to do something. But these people's papers were weeks old. I couldn't figure it out. So I go up on the porch. I bang on the door. No answer. I go to each one of the windows, and I bang on them. No response. But I'm looking in real close so I can see what's going on in there. And I get to one spot on the window where I see the curtain is kind of pulled back. And I put my face up against the glass to see what was in there, and I saw an eyeball looking back at me. And that scared the heck out of me. So I realized it's the man in the house. And as soon as I jumped back, I heard him say, "You need to come around to the back. Come around to the back." So I got off the porch, and I was walking around the backyard, and the yard was full of weeds and debris and broken bottles and sticks with nails on them. In some way, it almost looked like he had intentionally set it up this way so people would not walk to the backyard. Just full a lot of dangerous junk that could hurt you if you stepped on it. So I go around to the back porch, and the porch is shaking. It feels like it wants to collapse. It's just a few steps, and I get to the top of the porch. I get to the door, I pull the screen door back, and I try to get in the house, but I can't open the door. It's like something is blocking it. And the man yells out, "Push your way in." Now, I just hear the voice. I don't see him. At no point do I see him. I'm pushing, I'm pushing, I'm pushing, and finally the door kind of opens. And then I see what's closing the door, what's holding the door back. The house is filled with newspapers from floor to ceiling, millions of newspapers. There's just one kitchen table. It's got papers on it. Every place else is stacked. I could look in the back and I could see there was nothing with papers. So I started walking through the newspapers, trying to get around. There were newspapers on the floor. All the rooms were full of newspapers. Hallway is full of newspapers. The bathroom was full of newspapers. I finally get to this back room, and it's a room right next to the window that I was looking in. And he was there with a T-shirt on, and it was clear to me that he had been using a bucket for a bathroom. And it was just surrounded by newspaper. He looked disheveled. He was needed to shave. He smelled. And I was kind of nervous. So he says to me, "Don't you ever walk in my house again without yelling out first." But I was kind of confused. He asked me to come in. He told me that the money would always be on the table, that I could just come in and get the money off the table, which he always tied inside of a handkerchief. He gave me the money. He warned me not to walk in the house like that anymore, but the money would be in a handkerchief on the table. So once a week, I came by, forced my way in the back door. The money was in a handkerchief on the table. A couple of times over the months, I came by to get the money, and I thought I heard him say something to me, or he was saying something to me about the money every once in a while. As we moved into the summer months, one day I came over and the house was just full of flies. It smelled, a lot of flies in the house. And I had smelled this is a smell I was familiar with from, smell like dead cats and dogs that I had seen in the alleys around the community from place to place. But my money was always there. Like I said, I would show up. Occasionally he would yell out something to me, and many, many months had passed. But I was getting my money from him every week, just like I was supposed to. One day, I show up, and I notice there are like dozens of people out in front of the house. There's an ambulance there. There are police out there. And for the first time, the front door to the house was wide open. And then I saw them bring a body out of the house, put it on a gurney, put it in the ambulance. And people outside in the community were standing around talking about it. And I heard somebody say, "You know, he had been dead in there for over a year." And people around in the crowd was going, "Yeah, he'd been dead. Certainly somebody must have known. Who was delivering those newspapers to the house?" And so I heard that in the crowd, but I was afraid to speak on it. And I walked away.
What? A dead man was giving you money?
Apparently.
Wow.
He paid on time. I was so afraid to talk about it because people were talking about it in the crowd like someone had to know. Someone had to know. I didn't make any sense of the fact that there were flies in the house because I didn't know what to think about it. And he was using the bathroom and a bucket in the room. So in my mind, I just assumed that it was a stinky house with a stinky old man. But he had been dead. The people were saying he had been dead like longer than the period of time that I had been delivering the papers to the house.
So now you believe in ghosts. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
he had to be a ghost.
I think when it comes to spooky stories, maybe you shouldn't try to be too smart.
Hmm.
I mean, if you look for the science, you could find science in just about everything. But that takes away from the magic of the story. Is I didn't try to dig deep. Only just what I could observe in the moment without any other logical explanation to what happened. Because I certainly wasn't going to talk to anybody on the street and give them details from my perspective. I didn't even want to address
it. How old were you then?
Maybe 12.
12?
12 years old.
You feared they wouldn't believe you anyway?
Not so much that they wouldn't believe it. It wouldn't have been super uncommon to have some old person die in a house and a paper boy. That wasn't out of the realm of possibility. I was afraid I'd be in trouble.
For going into the house.
Going into the house, taking money out of the house, being seen going into the house is what I was thinking about. And just the way the people in the crowd were speaking about, someone must have known. Who? Like maybe I had went in the house and did something. Like I was just too afraid to speak on it. But I had thousands of questions. How? How did you find him? Who got in the house? None of those things I could get answers to.
Well, I want to know, that happened several decades ago. Is the house still there? Is anybody living in that property?
I was in Richmond a few weeks ago, and I would say that the house is still there. I don't know if the people who live there now, if I went up and knocked on the door,
so people
would appreciate,
live there.
People
wow.
live in that house. Yeah, I didn't think it was in my place to knock on the door and remind them of a story from my past in that house.
That was storyteller Ray Christian, who's based in Boone, North Carolina. Ray's got a podcast called What's Ray Saying? And he hosts the Moth Radio Hour every once in a while. Just ahead on Due South, getting ready for Election Day. I'm Leonita Inge.